But good morning to everybody joining us online as well as here. I'm glad, always glad to be with you as we celebrate yet another week within our Easter season as we prepare and draw closer to Pentecost. Last week, I talked about moving from darkness to light as Peter encouraged us to remember the light that God shines on us. Not just shining on our path to help us along our journey, but shining through us, that we can be people of mercy, meeting others where they are to share the goodness of God's light, even as they might be cowering in the dark. And when I think about moving from darkness to light, I think about that song, "Do we hide it under a bushel?" No, we let our light shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. And that's what we want to do. As we draw ever closer in our Christian calendar to celebrating the coming of the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, this promise fulfilled, as we heard from Michelle, shared with the disciples at that Last Supper, "I'm not leaving you alone." I want us to hear those words that she shared from Jesus, so that they can ruminate as we listen and hear and learn from Paul's words to us in Acts. John 14, verses 15 through 21. "If you love me, you will walk in my way. I will ask the Father to send one who will always walk beside you and guide you on the good road. He is the Spirit of truth, the one this world is not able to accept because it does not see or know him. But you know him, for he is with you now and will soon be in you. I will not leave you like a child with no parents. I will come back to you. Soon this world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I will live again, you will also live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. The ones who walk in my ways and stay true to my message love me. They will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and show them my true self. We will have one to walk beside us, the Holy Spirit. We are not left as orphans, because Jesus is returning and we have the Father with us. Jesus is in the Father. You and I, we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in you and me and us. There is nothing greater than Jesus, and so we have nothing to fear. And yet we look at this world and it's often nothing that scares us the most. We worry that our lives don't really mean anything, that there's nothing to it, or that our efforts to draw people to Jesus account for nothing because we don't always see the fruit of our labor. Or we feel sad or woeful because we don't receive what we think we deserve. And some even question, what if there's really nothing after this life? And they're afraid of what that nothing could mean. But we don't have to fear even these thoughts of and wonderings of nothings, because doubting God doesn't mean we don't have enough faith. It doesn't mean that we're going to end up nothing because we're not enough. There is nothing to fear because Jesus has risen. And because he lives, you also live. Join me as we begin. Lord, we thank you for the promise and the life that is breathed into us through you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God, as you continue to show us the ways in which we can participate with you and join in your journey, we say thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you give each one of us a tangible experience right now in this moment with you, that we hear your voice calling to us, transforming us as we seek to hold on and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, after going from darkness to light, we're going to talk about sharing light this week. So have you ever gone somewhere new, perhaps to a hotel or a bed and breakfast or to a friend's house, and you didn't know where the light switch was? Maybe you arrived at night and you didn't want to wake anybody up, so you didn't ask, and you're fumbling around in the dark until you find either the light switch for the room or a lamp that you hope will turn on or is plugged in. In a similar sense, have you ever tried to share the gospel with someone and not know how to quite do it? You fumble around with scripture or what you think you should say, and you're not sure if what you're saying is true or not, and you're not sure if you get it right. Again, as we take steps closer to the disciples receiving the presence of the Holy Spirit within them, celebrating Pentecost, a day when thousands came to believe because they heard the gospel in their native tongue, I start to fumble with scripture or feeling around that I don't quite know how to do this right. Because sometimes I'm a little intimidated by the disciples and these stories we have of them in the New Testament. Yes, we read about the mistakes that they make and the fumbles that they have. But when I think about Pentecost and thousands in a day coming to believe, that's a lot. And that feels greater than anything I could ever do. But thankfully, I remember that the same Jesus in them, the same Holy Spirit present in their Pentecost celebration, is the same one with me today. And that, yes, I'm going to make mistakes and not always engage as I'd like with others. But it can be easy to shine God's light when I know that I'm learning from him, that I experience life with God as I engage with others. There is never a moment that I'm not with the Holy Spirit when I'm with my neighbors or at the grocery store or in line for a movie. That as long as I stay in the light, God is moving and transformation can happen, not because of me, but because of him. And that makes it a little bit easier to share the gospel. And when I say easy, I just mean the following God part, right? Because when I know that Jesus is leading the way, then I know he's leading me to the people that I come to. And I can meet them right where they're at because God has led me to them at that point. Then I can share the gospel with others in ways that they will understand. That I can show mercy and grace and love, whether they fully grasp it or not. But all of those places are the rough edges that I need to work on, and that I'm grateful for the reminders that I can meet people where they're at because it's Jesus who's led me there. So I want us to lean into this lesson in Acts, this reminder of how Paul has followed Jesus' light, and he is meeting people where they're at, sharing the gospel of Jesus, not so it goes over their head, but so it's in a way that they understand, all the time showing them mercy and grace and love. So Acts 17, verses 22 to 31. So small man, Paul, stood up in the center of Mars Hill, Areopagus, and said, "People of Wandering Place," which is Athens, "I can see that in all things you are a very spiritual people. As I walked around, I saw some of your sacred objects. One altar had this message carved into it, dedicated to an unknown, powerful spirit. So then, the one you sacredly honor without knowing is the one I will make known to you. The great spirit is the one who created the universe and all the things in it. Since he is the rightful ruler of the spirit world above and the earth below, he does not live in lodges built by human hands. Creator does not really need human beings to do things for him, since he is the one who gives all people life and breath and everything we need. Beginning with the first human being, he made all tribes and nations. He wanted people to live all over the face of the earth. He decided ahead of time when and where each tribe would live. He did this so that all people could look for him and find the trail that leads to him. Creator is not far away from any one of us. It is through him that we live, walk, and have our being. As some of your songmakers have said, we are children of the Great Spirit. Since we are his children, we should not think that he is made of gold or silver or wood or stones. He is not like the carvings that people have thought up in their minds and made with their hands. In times past, Creator overlooked this empty way of thinking. But now he wants all people everywhere to return to the right way of thinking, because he has chosen a day when he will decide for all people who has done right and who has done wrong. He has chosen a man who will do this and has shown all people who he is by bringing him back to life again from the dead. Three things we see, well, many things, but three things I'm going to point out today that Paul has done at Mars Hill with these people around him who were very spiritual, but celebrating lots of different gods they believed to be helpful and true, and yet also honoring an unknown, powerful spirit. Paul started by listening. We see in the first two verses that he had looked around, he had gone to visit, he had heard what they said around him, paying attention to his surroundings before ever speaking or proclaiming what he knew. He sought to understand them, to know more about them, so that he could meet them where they're at. We think about the way we teach children in schools, that we start out the beginning of the year and maybe we give them some assessments because the teachers need to know where the kids are at so they know where to start their teaching. They just don't go in and start teaching poor little kindergartners 5 + 5 and expect them to know that it's 10. They start with identifying numbers because they know the kids aren't going to understand 5 + 5 until they have the foundation of what numbers really are. Pre-believers, as my dad would call them, aren't going to understand who Jesus is without the foundation and meeting Jesus where they are at. And notice, Paul doesn't start with judgments against them or their beliefs, but rather compliments that they are spiritual, that they choose to believe in something other than themselves. And then shares Jesus' light to show them that these figures and temples that they believe in and put their belief in is much less than the powerful spirit that was yet unknown to them. And he chooses to bring them comfort and help them to understand the ways in which they belong to this powerful spirit. And that's the second part he does. After he listens, he chooses to share truth. Now notice, he didn't need to be a scholar or a theologian or reference all of these research projects or studies that he has done to speak truth. Neither do we have to do that, especially meeting people where they're at. Because we know that God's truth, who Jesus is, and all he has done for us, answers the deepest longing in our human hearts, fills the void and the longing for heaven. Paul told them they belong to a creator who loves them, who's given them breath and being. They are known by this great spirit. They belong to him, and they have a purpose. Not because God had to use us, but because he chose to. And Paul shares it in a way to help them understand that this infinite God cannot be made into a human image that we create with wood or stone or gold or silver, because we cannot hold him in a finite box. We cannot fully understand him with our finite minds or as a statue. And yet, this infinite God has made himself known through one who was resurrected. And as Paul shares this truth and explains it, he offers an invitation to them. Now they have heard and know this formerly unknown, powerful spirit as the great spirit creator who has made them and loved them and wants to bring them back to the right way of thinking. They know that this great spirit is calling to them to join him. And that while God wants us to respond and to return and to repent and change our ways of thinking to this right way, there are no strings, there are no expectations that they have to do it. But each person Paul talks to is given a choice to experience this life with Creator sets free, the freedom of life with God, or remain as they are, spiritual people thinking and seeking the meaning of life. It can be that simple and that heartbreaking, because we experience the passion and the presence of God with us. And so when we share it, we're excited, and we think everyone should be as excited as we are. But yet some aren't quite there. They've heard and they've listened, and yet they resist. Doesn't mean we've failed in what God has called us to do or in the ways in which we participate. Because we have listened, and we share, and we offer the truth to all people. Yes, we see that the Father wants all to return to right thinking, and Paul tells them the way that God made it so, for all to come and all receive salvation through Jesus. And no, God doesn't force us to believe, but rather shows us his love for us through sacrifice and giving and mercy. While the main passage for the RCL stopped with verse 31 here, I want to read to you now the last three verses in this chapter. When they heard about the rising from the dead, some mocked him, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." So small man went on his way. Some of the people believed and joined with him, including one of the council members of Mars Hill named Shining Tree, Dionysius, and a woman named Good Wife, Demarius, along with a few others. Some mocked Paul. Some wanted more. And Paul went on his way, continuing to follow Jesus. He didn't stop because he was mocked. He didn't stay there and wait until all people believed and changed their way of thinking. And he didn't give up and say, well, I failed, because they didn't all convert to the truth of Jesus. And some went with Paul. Hallelujah and amen. We don't have to worry about the all, because Jesus has taken care of them. Some will mock us, even if we listen to them first and share and meet them where they're at. They might not choose to believe. That doesn't mean you stop sharing or stop listening. That doesn't mean you don't offer it to them again at another time. This is the example that we can get from Paul and helps me in those moments of feeling like I'm not doing enough in this life. We can listen to those around us and hear where they're at, where their struggle is. We don't have to try to solve all those struggles or use our Bibles and beat them over the head sometimes. We can simply share what we know about God, the truth of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about all people. As I said, we can listen to those who are already around us. Whose light, whose presence did God's light lead you to this week? Whose presence will he lead you to in the coming week and days? You can share the truth to those around you as they can relate to it. And you can invite those around you to believe. It might not happen all at once, like it did with Paul. We don't really have large gatherings of spiritual people in our everyday lives. We don't necessarily go to the grocery store and hear a bunch of people worshiping and singing and offering praise. We certainly don't go to schools and see big assemblies of people just waiting to hear the truth. But there are kids who ask me about why life is hard, about why they have to go through it, and how they want to give up sometimes. And as long as I listen first and then share God's love, they see the genuine power that God offers to them. Whether they accept it in that moment or they simply receive the hug that I give or the love that I show, I know that I have walked with God in that moment. And I can continue on my way following God, not just waiting and wondering if I did it right. So listen wherever you go. Share as God has given you the words and the wisdom to do so, and offer the right way of thinking and the ability to change and repeat and do it again and again and again as you follow Jesus. There's a commentary that I read this week for how to share, sharing our faith, and how much these days the church as a people isn't really recognized by the world around us, and especially even our buildings and where we gather are different to people, and sometimes even foreign when they come to them, because they've not experienced growing up in a church or within spiritual families. And I appreciated the way that they shared it. I want to share some of those thoughts with you. We have so many audiences to reach. Again, each of us have different places that we go, different audiences. It is the truth of our time and place that the God we love and seek may be largely unknown to the people we meet on the Mars Hills of our lives. whether it's at a town meeting or presidential caucus or the big box store or a coffee shop or a diner. People find their way to us. And when they come, for different reasons now, they're not necessarily coming to be part of thriving, mainstream, big churches, but rather they come because they're questioning, they're seeking and fumbling for a sense of purpose and meaning. They haven't quite found that light switch they've been looking for. And they come when there's death or loss, dissatisfaction, or even a joyful event that can bring people through our doors. Do we welcome them? We know that we're friendly to them, but do we recognize that the things that we say and do as a part of our normal rhythm could look strange and unaccustomed to others? One pastor tells a story of her college-age son who brought his girlfriend once to a service. And as the choir came out wearing robes, she leaned over and says, "Are all the singers in the National Honor Society?" That was her experience with robes, was this special society of honor. It wasn't common to her. She didn't understand. But she asked, and she was present, and he was able to share with her. So when we talk to people or invite them to church or share with them our practices, they might look at us funny. So we could go and be like Paul to Mars Hill. He can be our hero because he took what was in front of him. They were already worshiping an unknown God. And he used different forms of an argument style of speaking to sway them to believe in God. He used what they presented to him and showed them this God is known. He shows them that he understood where they were coming from and spoke to them where they were. And we can do that today because all ministry, all walking with Jesus takes place in a particular time and place among people with stories and places with a past. So when you think about the nature of your community or the people who work or live close by, remember that Paul is pointing you toward finding the connections between the ways that each of us are fumbling towards God. Aren't we all looking for that light switch so we can see more clearly and be present with our God? So rejoice today and be reminded that your participation with Jesus in his ministry is in this time and in this place, wherever that takes you, whoever God's light leads you to. And know that God has equipped you and empowered you to connect with those around you, to hear their heartache, to share the truth and healing of God, and to invite them to join him and you as you follow our risen Savior. Join me. Lord, we thank you that it is your blessing, your presence, your ministry that you have called us to participate in. God, we thank you that your truth has been given to us and revealed to us in ways that we can make it known to others. Thank you, Lord, for the examples that you have given us throughout Scripture and even throughout history as we see the greatness and the power of sharing your love and light. God, as we are transformed by your presence in us, may we see the transformation of our neighborhoods and our cities and our states and our world as we await your return. In Jesus' name, amen.